Francis Leach on ABC Grandstand Digital.
And each Saturday morning at this time, we catch up with Sean Callan and our digital sports guru from Sports Geek HQ to talk digital sports and what's been happening online and in the Twitterverse and beyond. G'day, Sean. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks, Frank.
Facebook is really peeing people at the moment. Like, really, there's always someone complaining about Facebook. But right now, it's maxing in the red.
It is.
fair to say.
And, yeah, the question we're raising is Facebook, has it jumped the shark? And I get, for people who don't know, I've used that phrase a lot, and there's actually some people who still don't know what the phrase jump the shark is.
It's a Gen X reference to a Happy Days episode where the once coolest show in the world with Fonzie jumped the shark because he literally jumps the shark on a motorbike, and that's when everyone says the critical moment where the show became...
No, he jumped the shark while skiing.
Skiing.
While wearing the black leather jacket, mind you. And he jumped the shark. So that was just a point where the show just had
tipped over
and gone too far. There are a lot of people pushing back.
Check out that jump on YouTube today.
Oh, definitely. I'll give Josh the link and he can put it up on the page. It's classic TV.
Henry Winkler's very active in the Twitterverse.
He is.
His hashtag isn't jump the shark,
unfortunately. No, exactly. Well, that's the thing. He's brought in a phrase that everyone uses. And so the question is, has Facebook jumped the shark?
Why this time?
Well, there's a few things. So in the process of Facebook trying to monetize and generate some revenue.
Gotta make some cash.
They've been pushing these ad products, sponsored stories and the like, and that's fine. That's their want, and they need to make some money. But what a lot of people who are running brand, team, and Facebook fan pages are seeing is their Facebook engagement, which is how many people are seeing and how many people are liking and commenting on their posts, really dropping.
So give us an example. So you're a footy club, and say off the end of the AFL trade period yesterday, you have a shot of, I don't know, a player coming to your club the new jumper.
Brisbane Lions might be saying, welcome Stephen Martin.
Yeah, so
they put it up on
Facebook. How many people should see it and how many do? Well, if you're following the page.
Well, the thing is, if you're following the page, you would think, I should see it.
Yeah.
I've opted in. I like the page. I've liked it for a reason and I want to see it. But Facebook has... effectively been gaming the newsfeed to a certain bit, in this thing called Edge Rank, and we've discussed it before on Facebook tries to curate the list of all the things you're doing, whether it's people you know and brands you like, to give you a feed of here's the stuff you really like a lot. And so they're effectively restricting...
So they're editing your experience.
Effectively, yeah. So if we took the Twitter world, if you follow everything, if you go to your timeline... Every tweet is in that timeline. If you scroll down enough, you'll see them all. Whereas in Twitter, you don't effectively have that. Sorry, in Facebook, you're not getting that timeline. You're getting this edge rank thing. And so part of that game is Facebook says, well, if they're engaging with that page, you will see it. So if you're engaged with your footy team a lot, then you will see it. But if you're just consuming it and letting it go by, there's a chance that Facebook will say, oh, you're not really interested in that team because you're not liking, you're not commenting, and you're not clicking on it. And that might be the case. You just might be, what we call on the internet, just a lurker, or just I'm just looking at it because I like the pictures, I want to support the team. And so a lot of big pages, and I was just looking at the Grandstand page before, you put up a post and it's only reaching a couple of thousand, a very small percentage of your fan base. And so there's a lot of teams, brands, a lot of people very frustrated in that they're producing this content that is not getting seen by the fan base that they've worked very hard to go and get.
And the other frustrating thing I do presume from this is that Facebook is now offering you the opportunity to reach those people at a price.
At a price. So
again, they're basically holding... Could you say that they're holding access hostage?
To a certain degree, and that's where the pushback is. They're effectively saying, oh, if you want to reach all of your audience, we will guarantee that audience, but it'll cost you $75 per post.
So they're gatekeeping.
To a certain degree, yeah. And so that's where the pushback is coming from brands. And then the other pushback is coming from the fans that are getting all these ads from brands that are like, oh, we don't have the big passionate fans that sports clubs do. We're an insurance company, or we're a tire company, or we're just a brand, and we've got to be on Facebook because everyone's on Facebook. We've been told how big Facebook is. And so we're seeing, our friends saying, I like insurance company, please.
Yeah, can you explain that to me? Because I find that rather frustrating, and it's turned me off using Facebook as much as I used to. People that I know, I presume, wouldn't usually just go about endorsing big corporations and products and saying, I like said health insurance company. I'm going, well, why do I have to care about that? Why is that turning up in my feed?
Well, that's because that insurance company or that is actually paying is paying for it and effectively paying for your personal endorsement. So as a personal user, you can opt out of those. Out of those ads, and you say, "Please, Facebook, don't use me as for an ad." And it has been quite effective, you know, in the sports space to say, "Oh, we want to grow our fan base." You know, Francis, you know, you're a St Kilda fan, and it shows that you're a St Kilda fan, and you go, "Oh, I'm okay with that." But as what we're seeing more is most of the sports don't need that type of growth because they can get it via their website if they place their properties in the right place and they're telling everyone what their handle is, those kind of things. But yeah, we're seeing more and more brands, and so if you joined up. For a sweepstakes competition with someone forever and ages ago, you know, then someone goes, you know, my girlfriend asked me, why do you like Tresemme? And I'm like, I can't explain that. I probably checked it out one time and I put it on there and it's probably been filtered out of my feed, but they're doing ads saying that I like them. And it's like, well, yep, I put my hand up, I did, but, you know, that's the way that they're rolling out the ad network. So, you know, the fact that you have to advertise to the fans you've already got is the main beef that a lot of people who are running the pages are. I mean, you know, if we looked at what advertisers have been since, you know, Don Draper was a little boy, it was advertising to people who aren't yet your customers. So if they turned off this whole gaming of the news feed and just said, you're going to get every single thing that gets posted on every single page you've liked. So first of all, that would trim down the overlikers. So the people that like everything, like things for competitions and like things because they want to keep and, you know, they have the condition FOMO, fear of missing out, and they have to like everything, they will see everything. And eventually they will be overwhelmed and they will start curating their own feed in the same way that a lot of people do Twitter. It's like, oh, I need a cull. These people aren't providing value. I'll unfollow. And so people will unlike. So the brands that don't produce great content and aren't engaging with their fan base will be penalised by their fan base themselves, not by Facebook.
So they get a real sense of where they stand in the marketplace. Has there been any major moves or serious outcry or I guess very public dressing down of Facebook from some big football clubs or from big personalities who've gone, stop doing this to me?
Not so much from the sports space.
Yet.
Yet. There's definitely, you know, some of our Matt Jepp and Dave Burtonshaw from the Crows and the Eagles were actually at a conference in New York, and it was a big discussion point because all these teams have built these big fan bases of, you know, in Australia, a couple of hundred, you know, 100,000 plus, and in the States, you know, millions, but then they put a post and no one sees it, and then they get a, you know, they get a bill, oh, would you like to promote this post? It only costs you, you know, $2,000. No one's going to pay $2,000 to promote a post. So the targeting is for big brands that need to be, and are usually, you know, spending money on advertising and are used to it, but the sports aren't. They're not expected to pay to do it. So it's going to be a tough one. For mine, I think, you know, the idea is, you know, does have some merit in that you might want to say, oh, this is a sponsored post. I want to show it to all the friends of my fans. That makes sense. But the actually paying to get access to your friends, because the thing is Facebook offers it organically. If you provide, you know, if St Kilda send you a post and you go, that's good, and you click like, your friends will see that Francis has liked a photo. And you go, oh, yeah, I'm a fan of St Kilda as well. I will like them. And you get that growth organically. So you get rewarded for good, you know, good behaviour. Whereas at the moment, they're just saying, well, you don't have to be good to be on Facebook. You can just pay to be good. And that makes for a really messy environment.
And undermines the quality and the integrity of the brand.
Yeah, and so you're either paying for it with dollars or you're selling out a little bit by saying, hey, everybody, please like this to keep your engagement up. And so, you know, what we try to do when we're talking to teams is like, well, yes, we know that that's the game. That's the game of Facebook. We do need the engagement. But we can't just say, we can't start every post with, did you like the trade today? Press like to tell us that you did. Please share this with your friends to show how much you're a supporter. Okay, because if you do that, you know, if you do that message two times a day, you know, for 100 days in the off season, when you actually, you know, you'll be a bit like the boy cry wolf. Oh, please sign up your membership. What? I can't just like it. And, you know, because you're asking them to give and give and give. And then when you actually ask them to actually give money for a membership or ticketing and stuff like that, they'll be all
They'll give out.
They'll be give out. Yeah, they won't get. You know, can I play it? Pay with a like button is what they'll be trained to. So, yeah, it is very. There is a definite pushback from brands and sports, and I think it will continue.
Good on you, Sean. Where can people find you online without having to pay?
They can find me at SportsGeekHQ.com or Sean Callanan on Twitter or Facebook.com/SportsGeek, and I hope you see my posts.
There you go, and like them. It won't cost you anything. Sean Callanan, our digital sports guru, our sports geek here on Grandstand Breakfast.